Blog Talk Radio.
Numbers have been outstanding. The support, the move to 7 o'clock on Tuesday seems to resonate with our live audience. The Friday lunchtime show seems to resonate with our archive and podcast audience. I mean, you guys have been wonderful. All I gotta say is thank you, and tell a friend to check out the Madden Voice. If you want to call in, the number is 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. I'm also live right now on Twitter. Just put at the Madden Voice, and you'll get me instantly. Or you can just send out something to the general Twitter nation and hashtag TMV, and I'll check that out as well. And, you know, I wanted to start with the comments of Warren Moon on Cam Newton, because we talked about Cam Newton Tuesday night. And I want to correct one thing that Warren Moon said, okay? And I have the quote here. And let me see. Warren Moon, this was the quote on, he was defending Cam Newton, if you didn't catch it. It's been talked about on First Take as well, and I know a lot of our listeners also listen to First Take, or maybe not. Maybe now that you listen to the Madden Voice, you don't even need First Take anymore. But this is what Warren Moon says. I don't understand it. Warren Moon, who served as a mentor to Cam Newton, apparently. I heard somebody compare him to Vince Young. It's the same old crap. It's always a comparison of one black to another black. I get tired of it. I get tired of defending it. If you want to compare him to someone because of his demeanor, compare him to Jay Cutler. There are a lot of guys who whine and moan. Cam's not biting anybody's head off or pushing his linemen. He's just disgruntled and not handling losing well because, think about it, he basically didn't lose in college. I don't think Cam's as bad as Cutler because Cutler looks like he doesn't give a damn sometimes, or he's yelling and cursing at someone. Cam just looks down when they're losing. So, you know, and of course, you know, the First Take crew took this one on, and Stephen A. Smith was very quick to wave his hand and say, Warren, it was me. Now, okay, let's be honest. Do we have the audience that First Take has? Absolutely not. Is it possible that Stephen A. Smith made the comparison on his very own? Absolutely. Is it a stretch to make that comparison? No. But let's be clear, on the Madden Voice, Commissioner T made that comparison a week before Stephen A. Smith. So before he goes and anoints himself, you know, the be-all and end-all, check the tape. Commissioner T made the comparison to Vince Young 1 week before Stephen A. Smith. Just had to clear that up because Stephen A. is walking around patting himself on the back and slow down, bro. There's other people out here that do what you do, and some of us are pretty doggone good too. But anyway, but when you look at the comparison, it's yes, they're both black. I get what Warren Moon is saying, and I got a lot of respect for Warren Moon as a player and as a trendsetter. But let's just remember, both of these guys won big in college. They both were national champions. Okay, they both came into the NFL. You know, near the, I think Cam was the number one pick, and Vince Young was, if he wasn't number one, he was certainly a top five pick. I believe they both were Rookie of the Year. Both played in the Pro Bowl. Both are agile, 6 foot five, 6 foot six, with strong arms. There is a lot of comparison that has nothing to do with the fact that they're African American. So while I, as an African American man, if y'all haven't seen the picture on Twitter of Commissioner T, yeah, I'm a black man. And I'm very sensitive to unnecessary racism. I don't view this as racism. I view this as these two, you, when you watch Cam and you start thinking of Vince Young and the problems that he take, and mind you, Vince Young is unemployed right now, it is eerily familiar. You know, and he says Cam just can't handle losing well. Well, he's got two opportunities to fix that. Win or get over it. Because NFL will stand for not for long if he doesn't pick up his attitude. You're the leader of that team, as I said on Tuesday. I'm not going to repeat and regurgitate everything I said on Tuesday. But I'm disappointed in a player of his caliber, of his potential, of what he showed us, the leadership potential he has. And I see him on the sideline with his head down underneath that pink towel, pouting and moaning. You're the leader of that team. There is, I don't care how you bring in Bill Parcells. You can bring in Bill Belichick. You can bring in Vince Lombardi, Tom Landry, Don Shula. It doesn't matter. If you don't have the right temperament for success in the NFL, you're going to fail. We've seen it time and time again. Talented quarterbacks, and where are they? You have to be tough-minded. Cam Newton should be much tougher than he is now. I believe he is. He's got to dig down deep and show it. But Warren Moon, you relax a little bit here, bro. You know, there's no unnecessary comparison. These comparisons are warranted. And instead of going on Yahoo and talking to Michael Silver, you need to go and continue to mentor, because you were a tough quarterback. You were one of the best that ever played this game. You know, the records that you set, I mean, it's been well documented that if you had gotten your shot that you deserve to be in the NFL and played at that level for all the years you played, you'd have every single passing record in the NFL. And as it is, entering the league late in your career, you still made it to the Hall of Fame. So you're a bad man, okay? There's no one doubting that. Why don't you take Cam Newton underneath your wing and show him how to be an NFL quarterback, not just on the field, but on the sidelines and in those press conferences as a leader? That's what he needs from you. Don't divert it with talks of racism that aren't warranted and aren't necessary. And this one, to me, I'm sorry, not necessary. Let's move on. And remember, 347-838-9525. Oh, we have a special guest. I guess he wants to join the Madden Voice. You guys know who he is, co-host on Tuesday night. You know, the man who has his PhD. He's coming to have lunch with Commissioner T, and hopefully he brought a sandwich. Maybe he's got some thoughts on the Warren Moon, Cam Newton discussion. Let me bring him on now. Dr. Train, my co-host, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, T? Yeah, I definitely got some words for the whole Warren Moon comment, you know what I'm saying, because it was directed towards my quarterback.
Yeah, that's true, that's right. Go on, man, the floor is yours. Oh, wait a minute, though. Hold on. There's something I have to play when you said that. It just made me think of something that I had to play before you said that. Because you said it was directed at who?
My quarterback.
Tony, you guys can point the finger at him. You can talk about the vacation. And if you do that, it's really unfair. It's really unfair. It's my team. My quarterback.
All right, so I just want to hear him say, that's my quarterback. All right, go ahead, man. Train, the floor is yours.
Anyway, man, that's, you know, same here. As much respect I got from Warren Moon, you know what I'm saying? He's done a lot in NFL. He's done a lot for the image of the black quarterback in NFL with the way he played and the way he carried himself on and off the field. But to say compare Newton to Jay Cutler, I don't see the comparison. I don't see the comparison whatsoever. Yeah, we've seen Jay Cutler antics on the sidelines, And no, we haven't always agreed with him. But you don't see Jay Cutler in the press conference looking depressed after they take a loss. You don't see him calling a female reporter sweetie in the press conference after a loss because he's so depressed that they're losing or that they're on a losing streak. Because the Bears they've been on a losing streak with Jay Cutler as quarterback, and I've never seen him in a press conference of that nature. I've seen him talk about what they need to do, how they need to get better, how they need to fix this, and how they need to fix that. And regardless of what people want to say about Jay Cutler, my man is still striving on the field, and the Bears are still winning. And the Bears will not have an offense without Jay Cutler. So for him to sit up here and say, I guess you can say he won't, you know, he make a statement. It looks like Cutler doesn't give it down. I guess if you want to just use visual perception only, then okay. But that is definitely not the case. We definitely don't have a quarterback that just doesn't give a damn. We have a quarterback that may not express his way the way the public would like to see, but Jay Cutler's not the only quarterback that's ever sat on ever yelled at his lineman on the sidelines or whoever got into it with his coach on the sideline. You know. So all I want to say is this. The comparison of Cam Newton to Young was right on. I mean, we talked about it several times on TMB. Okay? It was spot on, and it looks like he's headed that way. It just really does. They're both black quarterbacks. They both have similar talents coming in. They both won in college. But look how this guy looks in press conference, man. So, I mean, I just thought it was crazy for him to just throw in Jay Cutler just to be throwing in Jay Cutler. There's no comparison with the two. They carry themselves totally different.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, and not to belabor the point, I think Warren Moon and what he's done in pro football is beyond reproach. You know, I would say, and this is why, you know, and I may do a T-Bonics on this at the next show. I get disgusted when people say, you know, top five this, top five that, because, you know, you can't just throw everyone in. You run out of numbers. Five is five. I mean, people are so disrespectful. Yeah, I'm quoting my boy Stephen A. Sometimes I like Stephen A. Sometimes he irritates me. But I love that line, okay? But you know, you can't throw everyone in and say everybody's a top five quarterback. So I'm not going to say that Warren Moon was a top five quarterback of all time, because I don't believe that. But he is certainly a Hall of Fame, player. And if you look at his entire career, Canada and NFL, he's got all the records. I mean, if you can't do that, but if you did, look at his whole career, he's got all the records. The guy was a monster up in Canada. And I think some of it is, you know, he didn't get a chance out of college that he probably should have gotten. And I think there's probably a little bit of that bitterness. You know, now he's watching, you know, Cam Newton, RG3, you know, Michael Vick, the guy over there in Seattle. You know, he's watching these black quarterbacks come in and get all these opportunities. And it might be a little sour grapes for him to sit there and watch this and say, you know, 30 years ago, that should have been me. And because we were in a different culture, in a different society, I had the talent, I had the skill set, which he did, and didn't get a chance. And maybe he's just a little bitter, and that's motivating some of his comments. I don't know. But that said, it is. I just think to disavow the comparison to Vince Young is just ludicrous. And then to just pick on, you know, I mean, yeah, we've talked about Jay Cutler, and I stand by what I've said. I'm not sold on him completely. But is he balling this year? Yeah, he's balling. I mean, are the Bears balling? Yeah. I mean, you know, it was a conversation we had on Tuesday where I said that Tony Romo was not a top five quarterback this year, and our other co-host wanted to go back to last year. Well, I wasn't talking about last year. I'm talking about the season we're in right now. He's not. But Jay Cutler is balling. And arguably, you could start to look at Jay Cutler as one of the upper echelon quarterbacks in the league this year based on how he's playing this year. And so I think I think it is a bit much now because he yelled at his linemen and you know, that kind of stuff to start pulling him into the conversation with Cam Newton. I mean, your team is 6-1 or 5-1? What are you guys? 5-1? 6-1?
We're 5-1 right
now. 5-1. I mean, you know, you're 5-1 and you have a 2-game lead over the next team. 2 games. You know what I mean? So I mean, now if you were 1-5 and your quarterback was showing some of these tendencies, okay, then I would see where he's going. You guys are winning. You know, you guys are doing what needs to be done. So I don't get it. We have somebody else that wants to join us. We're Tuesday night on Friday afternoon lunchtime. I hope he brought a sandwich too. You guys know who he is. My nemesis, my arch rival, but my boy, K-Star, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What is going on, fellas? I have a little bit of time. I'm at work right now. I was on listening or whatever, because, like I said, I can listen to work, you know, do my thing. I work my own little station or whatever. And so I take a break because, as you know, as the guy who enshrined Cam Newton in the Hall of Fame, I have some issues with Mr. Warren Moon's assessment of it. And I feel like it would only be right, and it would be wrong if I didn't share my 2 cents on it. So, real quick, Warren Moon, he was a very good quarterback, and I kind of agree with what you were saying. I kind of caught the tail end of it before we started talking about Jay Cutler. But Warren Moon, I think, is a bit of sour grapes as well, because I guess, you know, since he played in an era where, you know, black quarterbacks weren't really at all to be found, I think he might have a little different view of everything because of, you know, again, when, the era he played in. Because, I mean, again, Cam Newton, like, when we talk about Cam Newton, we talk about him the last 2 weeks, I don't think anyone's brought up race because Cam Newton's a leader. Cam Newton has high expectations placed upon him, and he's just failing right now. And the way he's conducting himself, it's ridiculous. So, to me, I don't see it as a race thing. But I can understand why Warren would. I just think that he was a little jaded and a little outdated, but you know, that's just me. I mean, we have a lot of expectations for Cam Newton. I think that's what it is, and he's just acting immature. And I assume that's why Jay Cutler was brought up, because he also has those issues. And last I checked, he's a white quarterback. So.
Yeah, I guess Jay Cutler was an easy target because he has had some issues. But I have to agree with Train on this one. And I think you guys know my issue on race is well documented, particularly when it comes to the black quarterback. I have not been
not here. Yeah.
Funny guy. I have not been silent about my issues with race in the NFL, particularly when it comes to the black quarterback. However, in this particular case, I do think that Warren Moon is sensitive because he may not have gotten the shot that he deserved coming out of college. He may not have gotten that opportunity. And I think there's a little bit of bitterness, a little bit of sour grapes watching these guys come in. And then when he hears his boy, his mentee being talked down and compared to a guy who failed in the NFL, I mean, now he's got to jump up and defend him. And to Cam Newton's credit, he didn't feed into that. He just said, hey, you know, I respect Warren Moon and appreciate everything he's done for me, but, you know, my focus is now on winning the game. And now that, to me, was the first sign that maybe Cam Newton, you know what I'm saying, maybe he's understanding. Maybe someone got to him. Maybe. I don't know. But that was the kind of response I want to hear from the leader of that team, even if you agree with him, even if you think he's right. Hey, distance yourself. Hey, you know what? I got a game on Sunday. We need a win. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the bottom line, is they need to get a win, and that's where he needs to focus in on and not to be sidetracked with, you know, all this other talk. So
we're going to have to postpone that win to next week.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, Carolina's playing the Bears. That's right.
That's not a good look either. I don't think they're going to do too well at Soldier Field. They played very competitively last year. They had a great game. I believe Chicago won. Cam Newton was terrific, but that defense right now.
Mad yards. Oh, my God.
Yeah, last year he was great. I'm watching the game. But, I don't see it going too well for my Hall of Famer in Cannes this weekend, but we'll
see. There's no way on God's green earth that anybody with any kind of sense would pick Carolina to beat Chicago in Chicago.
Chicago's
been playing and the way Carolina's been failing. When I look at Yahoo and their pick distribution, it's 97% to 3%. The only other game that is even more lopsided is Green Bay at Jacksonville, 99% to 1%. So, but again, these are the games. I mean, really, did anybody think that Tampa would handle Minnesota like they did? Well, one guy on this call did.
I had the feeling. Was that a game that was that one of our picks?
Did we pick?
I guess now
did call that game though. I have to give him credit. He did. Don't think it was one of our picks, but K-Star did call that Tampa would beat Minnesota.
I had a feeling they would, but man, they
You had a feeling, Train. You know, you sound a bit like Fergie. You sound like a bit like Fergie right now. Don't backpedal.
I had a feeling, but man.
Okay. All right, well, listen, fellas. I'm going to listen in. I'm going to get back to work or whatever, but keep doing your thing, T. Train, talk to you guys on Tuesday.
All right.
All right, Jake. Good to hear you, man.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, so that was our co-host. You know, nice to have a little quick reunion on lunchtime with Commish T. And, you know, these guys are all, they should know, K-Star and Dr. Train, even if I do a solo show, they know they are always, always welcome to come on the Madden Voice. This is not about me. This is about the show. And this is about educating and entertaining you, our loyal fans. So anytime I can get these guys on with me, I just know they have different schedules and obligations. And we don't get paid to do this. So I'm not going to, you know, try to overwork these guys, but if I can get these guys to come on and share their deep knowledge of the NFL and their teams as is appropriate, then hey, we're going to go for it. And for anybody else out there listening, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. You could also send a tweet to me, and that's at the Madden Voice, and I'll get it. Or if you just want to put a general comment out there and just hashtag TMV, then go for it. Next thing I wanted to talk about were the Patriots. We didn't get to this on Tuesday night. And the question that I was going to pose is, you know, we saw the Patriots come back and barely beat the Jets. And I got to tell you, the Jets are not that great of a team to me. When you look at the AFC East, the Patriots win has certainly given them a little room to breathe. The Dolphins had a bye, and so the Dolphins are still they're half a game out at 3-3. Patriots at 4-3. Jets and the Bills are at 3-4. But you know, I sat and this is just talking as a fan and maybe a little bit of analysts sprinkled in. I sat and I said, Patriots, 7 games into the season, are 4-3. They were 2-3 a couple weeks ago. It was the first time in 7 years that the Patriots, at this point in the season, had an under 500 record, because it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen under Belichick. It doesn't happen under Belichick and Brady. And I started thinking, is this the same team? Is this the team that just went to the Super Bowl? Does everybody remember? Let me remind everybody out there, and Dr. Train will remember this. When the schedules came out, do you remember everything we said? We said it right here on the Madden Voice. We said, this isn't fair. This is a team that went 15-1 last year. Was it 15-1? Let me double check that.
No.
15-1.
Which one?
No,
what? Patriots? What,
yeah.
Green Bay?
No, I'm talking about Patriots were what, 13-3? I'm looking it up.
I want to say 13-3.
It was 13-3. Yep, sorry. 13-3 last year. Went to the Super Bowl. And they had, on paper, the easiest schedule in the NFL. Skip Bayless, on First Take, said they will only lose one game and it'll be against the Jets because he's got something for Tim Tebow. That's his boy. That's his thing. And so he said they'd go 15-1. But everybody thought the Patriots were going to be just cruising into the playoffs. Everybody thought that. We sat here and said, this just isn't fair. And it turns out that at 7 games into the season, 8 weeks, 7 games into the season, they're 4-3. And I have begun to realize this is not the same Patriots team. We are at the end of their franchise. We are at the end of their dynasty. We are at the end of their dominance. This is it. I am calling it on today, October 26th, 2012. They might make the playoffs simply because someone in that division is going to win that division, and I'm not betting on the Jets, the Bills, or the Dolphins. So because they're in a weak division, they'll make the playoffs. But they're bounced. They're out. First round, first game. When I look around the AFC and I look at the Ravens, injury problems, but most of their players will be back except for Ray Lewis. Steelers, most of their players will be back, right? The Texans, we know they're balling at a very high level. Broncos, if they win the division, or the Chargers, I don't see the Patriots matching up with any of these potential playoff teams. I don't see it. I just don't see it. I think they're bounced first round. If they happen to somehow or another get to the divisional round because they get a first round bye, then fine. First game, they're out. And I'm telling you, this is it for them. Brady, he's still a great quarterback. You watch him. Watch him on Sunday. Not the same. Just something's a little off with Tom Brady. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's not feeling well. Sometimes these players get injured. And maybe there's an injury or something that he's not talking about. I mean, you know, he's not the kind of guy that's going to go on and say, oh, my shoulder hurts, my arm hurts, my leg. That's not his style. He just goes and plays the game, and I give him a lot of credit for that. But maybe there's something wrong, or just maybe at 35, just maybe, you know, it's catching up to him. I mean, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, this is a team that has been to 5 Super Bowls. Tom Brady has been to 5 Super Bowls. He's 3-2 in Super Bowls, okay? Joe Montana went to 4. Terry Bradshaw went to 4. Troy Aikman went to 3. You know, Brett Favre went to 2-3. I don't know. We'd have to look it up. No more than 3. Peyton Manning, 2. Eli Manning, 2. You know, when we talk about great quarterbacks of this era, I don't know if there's a quarterback that's gone to more than 4 other than Tom Brady. We'd have to do some research there. But I don't think there is another quarterback. What, Jim Kelly, 4, Fran Tarkenton, 4, but they lost all 4. I can't think of anybody, and I've been watching football my whole life. So, I mean, he's had a great career, but I think we're at the end of the Patriots dynasty. I think this is it, and I think Belichick's going to pull the troops together and try to muster one last run, one last. You know, they still have a great offense. Defense is questionable. And I think he's going to try one last time to get Brady and the boys to rally. You see they're trying to do a little running thing here with Ridley and the other guy. And, you know, Aaron Hernandez is out. He's not going to London. But they still got Gronk. They still got Welker. So, you know, they still have weapons. But I'm telling you. And I'm sorry, Patriots fan, and I had a good friend of mine, my man B, runs the other fantasy league I'm in. Hats off to B, listens to all the archives. Big Patriots fan. I'm sorry, B. I'm sorry. I told you Seattle was going to beat your Patriots, and they did. And now I'm telling you, after this year, this is it for this team. They're gonna become mediocre. You know, and you better hope that I'm wrong, that I'm still saying they're going to be competitive this year. But it wouldn't surprise me at 4-3 if this is not just the trend of this team throughout this year and they're just not skating just above 500. I just don't see them doing what they've always done. They're not going to be 13-3, 12-4, win the division first round bye. I just don't see it. They may win the division, and by the nature of their record, who knows, maybe a first round bye, but I doubt it. I'm saying 9-7. Maybe 10-6 because that division is so weak. Maybe. But that's it. That's all I give them. You heard it here. Train, any quick comments on that one?
I agree with you to a certain extent. I do think this Patriots team can bounce back if they have a more kind of more dominant defense, because that offense will always be potent as long as Tom Brady is quarterback. But at the same time, we got to understand the parity in the league is catching up. So all these teams that the Patriots would normally run over, they just, they're not going to be able to run over. and they're not going to be able to dominate unless they get a defense to go along with the offense. That's the only reason why I say to a certain extent. So, but with that said, no other team in that division is the Patriots, and that's one reason why they will continue to make the playoffs. But this time, it may be wild card instead of first round bye.
Well, and I think that goes back to we're living in the past. We can't accept the because we've seen. I mean, you got to realize I live in Connecticut, and living in Connecticut means that I've had the Patriots shoved down my throat, for 30 plus years. And this predates Tom Brady. This goes back to Steve Grogan days and the such. They were always on TV, and even though I'm a huge Cowboy fan, you know, when there was no NFL package and you couldn't go to the local sports bar to watch all the games, I sat home and watched football, and I watched a lot of Patriots football because it was the only game on TV. And so I remember when they were mediocre. I remember when they were average. I remember when they were hapless. And, you know, the modern-day NFL fan only remembers Tom Brady, maybe a little bit of Drew Bledsoe, and the dominance we've seen from them over the last decade or more. And I appreciate that. And so it's hard for us to imagine that a Bill Belichick team, let us not forget Bill Belichick coached the hapless Cleveland Browns and did absolutely nothing. Not saying he's not a Hall of Fame coach now, because he is. But it's hard for us to imagine a coach of that level managing a team, coaching a team, and them not being what we've always seen them. But I'm warning everybody that that's going to happen, that that's coming. Now, could they respond in the draft and do something? Sure. But, you know, those things take time. That's not an overnight, you know, just pass off to the next guy and just keep going. It's growing pains and schemes and systems and, you know, and what's going to, you know, and how do you deal with a declining Brady as he gets to 36, 37, 38? And at what point do you hand it off to the next guy? And what's the plan? You know, these are things that Patriots fans need to get ready for. This is, and trust me, I lived it in Dallas post Jimmy Johnson, post Barry Switzer. I lived it in Dallas with Dave Campo as the head coach and Troy Aikman, not having the weapons around him that he had before, the defense not being the dominant doomsday defense that it was. I lived it in Dallas. It was very painful to see my Super Bowl, three-time Super Bowl winning Cowboys of the 90s finish off the 90s with 3-5-11 seasons. It hurt. It was painful. And what did it take to turn it around? Bill Parcells. And a completely new team. And that's what he did in his 4 years in Dallas. So, and we're still trying to get there. So all I'm saying to Patriots fans is, this year you may still be able to compete and do some things. After that, I'm predicting it, it's not going to be the same. They're going to slide. The other team I wanted to talk about, we touched on them quickly, and the train may have some comments on this one. But I am telling you, and I will say it again, and I will go down with the ship if I'm wrong. The New Orleans Saints are not done. They're not done by sight. The New Orleans Saints at 2-4 with two straight wins. Drew Brees balling. 11 touchdowns to 2 interceptions in the last 3 games. Throwing 70% completion rate. Drew Brees returning to the Drew Brees of MVP level last year. NFL record setting last year. Starting to figure something out on offense. They're scoring points. I know what everybody's going to say. What the heck's wrong with that damn defense? I understand. I don't disagree with you. But should I remind everybody that the Patriots went to the Super Bowl last year with the 30th ranked defense in the NFL. 30th ranked. So why is it impossible to think that an offense that is as potent as the New Orleans Saints offense is now? I know the first couple of games, they didn't look very good. Brees was making some mistakes. They were still scoring points, but there was a lot of turnovers and interceptions, and I get it. But now they're starting to ball on offense. They're starting to do what they do on offense. Why is it hard to imagine that this team couldn't go on a run? They are going to face the Denver Broncos in Denver this weekend. This is a game for both teams, because I'm a big Peyton Manning fan too. And I'm telling you that this is going to be a game that's going to propel either one of these two teams into the playoffs. Remember I said it. The Saints are going to the playoffs. I don't believe in the Falcons. Falcons are going to lose to them Eagles. The Eagles are going to beat the Falcons. Now, I picked Atlanta because I have to go with the odds because I want to be right. But the more I think about it, I may send Dr. Train a message and make my pick. Now it's informal. I may make it formal. I'm starting to really think that at home, those Eagles are going to beat those Falcons. Now, don't get me wrong, Cowboy Nation. I know we got a lot of Cowboy fans that are listening saying, Commissioner T, you're a Cowboy fan. What's wrong with you? Hey, I want Atlanta to stomp on the Eagles, okay? As a Cowboy fan, that's what I want. But as a football fan, them Eagles haven't played to their potential yet. Those Eagles are ready to step up and do something. And they finally got rid of their defensive coordinator, who we're hearing now from players was just a joke. They all these things in practice that they tried and experimented with, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then they got in the game and did the same thing. He said, by the fourth quarter, everybody knew what we were running. We became too predictable. Now, I don't necessarily think they should call them out like that, but that's what we're hearing now. So I think the Eagles' defense is going to improve. And I think if Michael Vick can just protect that ball, those Eagles are going to be something to be reckoned with. And Philadelphia is a very difficult place to play and win. And I'm sorry, Matt Ryan, you're not very good when you're not in a dome. I don't have the numbers to substantiate it, but I've seen them. And there's a huge difference in how he plays in a dome and how he plays on the outside. So even though Atlanta on paper is looking good on defense, good on offense, looking very stout, I just have a feeling the Eagles are going to do something to those Falcons. They're going to expose them, and we're going to see these Saints make a run. Remember, Commissioner T said it, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. Welcome to the people that are in the chat room. And if you want to send us a tweet, at the Madden Voice on Twitter, hashtag TMV if you like, we'll get the message and respond. Train, any comments on my ridiculous assertion that the Saints are?
I still do not believe in the Saints. I'm sorry. And I mean, true enough, they are playing better. I give them that. And, you know, just for the sake of football knowledge, they do look like a team that can possibly slide into the playoffs, but it's going to take a lot. Because as I look at their schedule is not easy from this point forth. They got a couple of teams that I think they are much better than, but outside of maybe two teams on their schedule, the rest of their teams are competitors. And the rest of their team are playoff contenders. You know, when I consider the top six teams in NFC to make the playoffs, they're not in there. They just miss it because I only see one team coming from their division, and that's Atlanta. I see maybe two teams on the NFC North, two teams maybe from the either NFC West or NFC East.
Yeah, I mean, there is some wisdom to the fact that by starting 0-4, they've dug themselves a hole. But this is a team that has gone on 9, 10, 11-game winning streaks. And I get that their schedule is tough, but people have to play them too. And, you know, and this is what I say about when people talk about the Cowboys. We're going to talk about the Cowboys in a minute. You know, the Cowboys have a tough schedule. Okay, but you've got to play them too. You know, this isn't just your team is tough and that other team's going to lay down. Everybody, you know, I went and looked at ESPN. I go from different sites to different sites and do my little research. And ESPN had, let me count up here, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13, 14, 12 people and then two, like, computer picks. All right. But Eric Allen, Mike Golick, Merrill Hodge, Juan Jaworski, Mortensen, Scheffner, Schlereth, Wickersham, I don't know who that is, Tom Jackson, Keyshawn Johnson, Mike Ditka, Chris Carter, okay? These are all NFL analysts. The majority of them, former players, former coaches, you know, people that we watch day in and day out when we're watching NFL coverage. And all of them picked the Vikings last night. The only one is the guy I don't know, Wickersham. Don't know who he is. He picked Tampa Bay. And so, you know, just the beauty of the NFL is we just don't know. we just don't know. And so... And that's why we have a job. That's why we sit here and do this. So it would not surprise me at all if the Saints turned this ship around. And I think, and here's the last comment on this from me. I think Drew Brees is an incredible quarterback and an incredible leader. Okay? I mean, honestly, when you ask me, who would you take in place of Tony Romo right now? I'd probably take Drew Brees before anybody. And one of the things I like about him is that is he the best skilled quarterback of them all? Probably not. You know, you really got to look at Aaron Rodgers and everything he can do. Of course, Brady's still playing at a high level, and Peyton Manning over the last couple of weeks is showing he's still Peyton Manning. You know, and of course, you know, now we have RG3 playing well. And, you know, so there's quarterbacks that are playing very well. Don't get me wrong. But what I like about Drew Brees is his leadership. And that's what, if I was picking a quarterback, I'd want that as much as I want on-field skill. I want to know, are you a leader? Are you a guy that can take the reins of that ship? And not just when things are going well, but when things are turbulent. Well, things have been very turbulent in New Orleans, okay, with all of the bounty stuff and Peyton being suspended and Vilma suing the league and that whole – and we don't talk about that stuff much. I think they talk about it enough on TV where you guys want to listen to Mad Voice talking about bounty, okay? So we're not going to waste your time. We're going to just talk about football. But with the adversity that team has faced, and he's still right there in front of the camera doing his thing on the field, I think he's going to rally these guys, and he's going to put in, just like they did when New Orleans was battling back from Storm Katrina, and he took it on his shoulders and said, we've got to do this. There was a mission, not just do this because I'm getting paid, not just do this because I want to win, but he added another layer. We got to do this for this community. We got to do this for the city. And they went, and they won the Super Bowl. I was in New Orleans when the Cowboys played the Saints that Super Bowl winning season, and the Cowboys played the Saints in Dallas on a Monday night, and I happened to be in New Orleans for a conference in my hotel room watching the game, and New Orleans spanked up Bill Parcells' Cowboys. I mean, whooped them up and down the street. And I said, oh, my God, this team is serious. And they went on to win the Super Bowl that year. So I think that's the intangible that people may be discounting just a little bit. There's a purpose, just like when the Colts went and beat Green Bay. You know, that extra, just that little bit extra. So keep your eye on those Saints. 2-4, and I'm predicting somehow or another math is going to work out, and they're making the playoffs. 347-838-9525, live on the Madden Voice, Commissioner T, grab a sandwich, special guest, Dr. Train, the man with the PhD, the man who won the first EAFL Super Bowl, the man whose Bears are 5-1, and I know he's just dancing up and down the street talking about what? What? Better record than the Steelers, better record than the Cowboys, better record than the Packers and the Vikings. Two games up in the NFC North, sitting pretty right now, but they have a trap game. Carolina's coming to town. Carolina's only got one win against five losses. Not playing well at all in any phase of the game. And I'm going to give Train 2 minutes to tell everybody why the Bears are not going to lose this game to Carolina.
Oh, man. Look, TMD fans, it's fairly simple why we won't lose this game to Carolina. One, I've always seen Chicago defense play really well against mobile quarterbacks. Yeah, last year Cam Newton got us, but this is totally different from different defense from last year. It's a lot deeper on the defensive line. They have a lot more rotation, so the defensive line will stay fresh the entire game. Matter of fact, this whole game will be all about the defense. because on offense, all Mike Tice has to do is simply run the football. Carolina is ranked in the bottom of the league against the run. And they don't even need to put the game in Jay Cutler's hands. Just run the football, let the defense go to work, and we'll have no problems out of Carolina, especially not in the house of the monsters of the Midway.
There you go. Can't argue with them. Bears are playing high level. Man, they should win this game. And if they don't,
oh my God,
Train might have to get a high ankle sprain.
Think I might have an interview next week.
We're going to talk about the picks, and we're going to talk about the NFL's most hated and NFL's most overrated. But now, my feature segment, arguably the biggest game of the weekend. Such a big rivalry that it was the first game of the regular season. The Cowboys went to MetLife Stadium and faced the New York Giants and beat the Giants as they were hoisting their Super Bowl banner, hoisting their trophy, winning their game one and beat them. And people said, well, it was a game one and, you know, you're coming out of training camp. And I'm thinking to myself, we beat them, period. We beat them. I don't want to hear why. We won. That's it. You know, I don't want to hear that it's rust. And these are two teams each other twice a year. You know, these are two teams that know each other very well. So to diminish that win is just rude. It's unnecessary. It's uncalled for. Okay. It was a legitimate win, and the Cowboys played very well and earned that win in a hostile environment. Unfortunately, they sold me a bit of a dream because they haven't played all that well since. It's the best game they've played probably of the season. Oh, they played pretty well against Baltimore, but we won't get into that right now. Those of you in Cowboy Nation that's tuning in to hear me discuss this game, welcome. And we are hit with a devastating injury this week. Sean Lee, our top tackler, our leader on defense. Many people say he is more valuable on defense than even the great DeMarcus Ware is out. Not just for this game. Not just for a couple of games. He's out for the year. Torn ligaments in his toe. He's done. Sean Lee, uncanny ability to find the football. Uncanny ability to read plays. The guy has a sixth sense. You want to talk about a ball hawk. Leads the team in tackles, you know, had the only interception before Morris Claiborne got one. And if you go back to last year, leads the team in interceptions. The guy is an incredible linebacker, probably not as heralded as some of the linebackers we always hear about, the Ray Lewis's, the Brian Urlachers and the such, because these guys have been doing it for a long time. But I'm going to tell you, Sean Lee's the next. He's coming. He's, you know, you got to get healthy. He can come back. But he's the next guy. Okay, he's it. Trust me. You know, everybody in Cowboy Nation knows it. But the rest of the NFL, if you don't know it now, oh, yeah, he's the man. But now that begs us what happens. You lose your best defensive player. Your center is out. Now, mind you, center was out after three plays in New York. And Ryan Cook came in and did a great job. Not too worried about that, okay? We lost Barry Church, starting safety. He's out. Now, we can sit here and talk X's and O's, and we can talk, you know, strategy. Victor Cruz had 3-4 drops in the first game. It is unlikely that he's going to do that again this game. He is that elite of a wide receiver that we know that he's going to make plays. Nix is going to make plays, and Eli Manning, particularly in the second half and in the fourth quarter, is just simply the best quarterback in the NFL, particularly when the team is down and you need a score. There really is no one else you'd rather have that ball. We used to think Peyton or maybe Brady. Right now you got to say Eli is the one you want to have that ball. So why does Dallas have a chance? Why is it that Dallas has a chance to beat these Giants at home where they have never beaten the Giants in three previous tries at the new stadium in Arlington, Texas? Eli Manning is 3-0. When Jerry Jones at the beginning of the year said, when the Giants come down here, we're going to whoop their beeps, he said that. Where when Eli Manning won, he went and signed his name on the wall in the locker room after the first game. why do the Giants or the Cowboys have a chance? I'm going to tell you why. And I want everybody to listen carefully. There's one reason and one reason only that I believe the Dallas Cowboys have a chance. Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan now has players. Rex Ryan now has a second year in the scheme that he's installed. The Cowboys' defense has been balling. Barry Church has been out. Next man up. Jay Ratliff missed the first four games. Next man up. Now we lose Sean Lee. They went out and got a former first-round draft pick for the Colts, Ernie Sims. We still got Albright. We still got Connor. We got Ari Lemon. I believe that Rex Ryan is arguably the best defensive coordinator in the NFL. He's from a long line of defensive-minded Ryans, his brother, his father. And I believe that this is the game that he earns his money defensively. So then you say, okay, so let's assume the defense plays well like it did and they can hold the Giants to 14 or 17 points, like the first game held them to 17. The offense hasn't played well. What's up with the offense, Commissioner T? I've got an answer for that, too. Tony Romo. You see, people don't seem to want to understand that Romo is a better quarterback than you give him credit for. I even listened to the fan out of New York last night, and the host said it is not Romo's fault. Romo is not the problem on the offense. This is a New York radio host says Romo is not the problem. I was shocked, but he's right. In the last five meetings, Romo has thrown 13 touchdowns to only two interceptions against the Giants. 74% completion record. Eli, 12 touchdowns, five interceptions. Very, very respectable. 62.8. However, Eli has won four out of those five games. So Romo understands how to do it statistically. We are now going to see Romo command that offense and score some points. It is now time. The offense will score points on Sunday. DeMarco Murray is probably out. That's the way it's looking. It's okay. Is he a great running back? Yeah. Can we live without him? We can survive. Is Felix Jones going to play? Maybe, maybe not. I honestly don't think we need Felix Jones. I think if he plays, great. You put Philip Tanner back there. He's a hard runner. And you put Lance Dunbar back there. He's your changeup back. You've got Witten, who in the first game was just coming off a lacerated spleen, only had two catches for 14 yards. Witten's healthy now. You still got Dez Bryant, who just got to just get his hands on that ball and stop arm-wrapping that ball. And let's not forget, before Victor Cruz, as an undrafted free agent, burst onto the scene, there was this other guy named Miles Austin who burst onto the scene as an undrafted free agent. So let us not forget that the Cowboys have weapons on offense, too. They've just been a little off. This is the game. When your rivals come to town, you haven't beaten them in that stadium ever. You have a chance to make a statement. You have a chance to take over that division. When you know your Eagles are playing a very tough Atlanta team, and you know the Redskins are playing a very tough Pittsburgh team, it is not beyond the scope of reality that the Eagles and the Redskins could both lose. And if the Cowboys can hand the Giants their third division loss, that will resonate for the rest of the season. Dallas has to win this game. They are motivated. They are fired up. And I'm going to tell you the last reason why they're going to win this game. Because just like in week one, no one's giving them a chance. You remember week one? We were hearing the Mad Voice talking about it. Everybody said, there's no way. Giants are home. There's no way. When you go to the ESPN picks, two people out of the 14 picked the Cowboys. One of them is Mike Ditka, surprisingly. But the other one is the guy Wickersham, who is the only guy who picked Tampa Bay last night. He's also picking the Cowboys. So, Cowboy Nation, NFL Nation, I know it doesn't look good. I know Good Money says the Giants are playing at a high level. Eli's playing great. They're motivated, and they're going to come in. They're not going to lose two times to Dallas in one season. But why not? Because Dallas is going to show up. And my last comment on this game, is very simply this. If by some chance any fans that are listening are going to be at that stadium, if by some chance Cowboy Nation is going to be in Arlington at that billion-dollar stadium, I'm asking you, for once, can you give the Cowboys a home field advantage? For once, can you make so much noise that they know you're there? I need my Cowboy fans to stand up and be heard. You cannot go there and not give your team the benefit of playing in their very own stadium, because there's so many Giant fans there that all the cheers sound the same and all the boos sound the same, and you don't know who's rooting for who. I was disgusted when the Bears came to town and the Bears had so much representation in that stadium. It was bad, and I'm worried about when the Steelers come to town. So Cowboy Nation, stand up. Get behind your team. Don't get down if Romo throws a pick. It's okay. Don't get down if there's a fumble or a turnover. It's a four-quarter game. And the Cowboys have shown you this. They're going to fight. I asked Jason Garrett to have grit with this team. I said to Jason Garrett, why isn't this team being competitive? Why isn't this team fighting? This team is fighting now. You saw the game against Baltimore. You saw the game against Carolina. This team's fighting now. I'm seeing a hunger and a determination. What's just missing is a little bit of execution. But I'm starting to see things come together. And I'm telling you, Cowboys have a shooter's puncher's chance to knock out those Giants. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not even saying it's going to be a blowout or anything like that. But for anybody who just thinks the Cowboys have no chance, and let me address Stephen A. Smith, who says the Cowboys are an accident waiting to happen. I mean, that's just rude. They lose games just like other teams because they don't execute. Things happen in football. You've been covering football for 20 years, so you say. I don't understand why you would use such an inappropriate label. They're an accident waiting to happen. Things happen. These are grown men playing a game, and these guys are fighting. I'm seeing a heart and hunger from this team that I haven't seen in a while. I'm starting to see that now. And when you have that desire and you're working hard in practice, they're going to bring it onto the field. And this is the statement game. Now, hopefully, as I said to Dr. Train, I hope I don't have to come here on Tuesday and eat crow. I hope my team doesn't lay an egg and I got to come here on Tuesday and hear K-Star say, what happened to your Cowboys? You sit there and ranted and T-Bonics and all that about your Cowboys. What happened? But you know what? Either way, I'll be here Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, talking about my team. 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. And don't forget, the Madden Voice is on Twitter. Train, you still there? Did I lose you?
I'm still here, man. I'm still here.
Just a second.
Sorry? No, I was just saying I'm still here.
Oh, okay, all right. Real quick, before I get into the picks for Sunday, real quick, NFL released Sports Illustrated polls most hate NFL. I gotta mute Dr. Train for a minute because I hear some background noise. Most hated players in the NFL, and I thought this was pretty interesting. So you got 10 Brady Quinn, 9 Mark Sanchez, 8 Santonio Holmes, 7 Kyle Orton. Don't get that one at all. 6 Tony Romo. Don't get that either. You know, this is I don't understand. Hated? Yeah. But okay, fine. Number 5, Matt Leinart. It's with the Raiders now. I didn't even know where he played. Number 4, Randy Moss. Number 3, Michael Vick. That one I get because there's still a lot of people harboring because of the dogfighting. Number 2, Jay Cutler. And number 1, and Dominican Sue. That I completely agree with. But let me see if Train is, if his background is a little quiet.
Yeah.
You back?
Yeah, I'm good. I had the TV up a little bit because I'm watching ESPN First Take. I mute myself and listen, and then I wait. So sorry about that.
Okay. I get your quick thoughts on Jay Cutler coming in as the number two most hated player in the NFL.
I love it. She's giving it to him. I love it. And Dominique Sue is number one. I love it. Keke and Cavell are going to do his feed off of it. Jay Cutler is balling. I don't care what y'all have to say about him. He's not destroying the team from the inside. He's not getting up in front of the media moping after a loss or after a win. He's balling. I love it. Keep sending the hate. He's going to keep doing what he's doing.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, do I mind that Romo was number six? I guess not, but I don't understand it because, when you talk about people like a Sue or a Vic, and then you want to put Romo on that same list, I don't get it. But hey, to each his own.
This is why I see Romo. People may put Romo at number six is because partly they're listening to the whole media about how Romo blows up during the season, how he constantly makes mistakes without actually watching him play, without actually watching the games and seeing this man carve up defense. He has bad games like any other quarterback has bad games. And if Romo has a bad game, the Dallas offense is going to struggle. But that's no different than Jay Cutler having a bad game. That's no different than Drew Brees having a bad game. But to see people listen to the media, oh, he's going to blow up, he's just he just had a bad game. Watch him play sometime. Just watch him play a whole game and see what he does.
Yeah, and like I said, I bet people would be shocked to know that in the last five games that Romo has only two interceptions against the Giants and Manning has five against the Cowboys. That Romo's completing 74% of his passes to Eli Manning's 62. I think that would shock people. You know, but then, of course, the most important stat, which is why Romo gets the rap he gets, is wins and losses. Romo only has win in that game. Now, granted, it was the most recent game, but he only has one. Eli has four. You know, so I agree with what you're saying. The other list I want to comment on before we get into picks, and we'll get out of here. Overrated players. Overrated players. And you're going to see some of the same names. At 10, Ndamukong Suh. Now, I don't know that I agree that this guy is overrated. He's very good at what he does. I just think he just got a bad rap because of the aggression and, you know, the stuff that happened with the spitting and out of hits on Cutler, and he's developing a very bad reputation, thus the most hated. But overrated? I mean, I'd take him in Dallas if he changed his attitude a little bit. So I don't agree with that. This one, I'm just stunned at. Number nine, again, Sports Illustrated poll, Tom Brady? I mean, overrated? This guy could go down as the all-time best quarterback ever to play the game. You know? Now, when you talk top five quarterbacks, legitimate top five, not that bullshit top five that people throw out there, Tom Brady's top five quarterback. I can't find four better quarterbacks than Tom Brady. I can't. I'm sorry. So, now, maybe 2 years from now, we'll say he's overrated. Maybe next year. Maybe by the end of the season. But now, I don't get it. I don't get it. Number eight, Michael Crabtree. I'll go with that. He's done nothing. He really has done nothing. You know, a guy that came in with so much hype and so much fanfare, and then he's played so well that he had to go out and get Randy Moss. You know, I agree with that because he hasn't really done much yet. Nnamdi Asunwa. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about overrated. I think he's pretty good. Yeah. They said Asante Samuel. I'd probably go with that one. I don't know. I think I don't think he was worth the money he got, but I don't think he's overrated. I think he's pretty doggone good. Number six, Reggie Bush. Don't agree with that at all. You know, he's been injured. He's had injuries here and there. But when used properly, he's deadly. You know, when you use him, and now Miami is starting to understand how to use him, kind of like how New Orleans used him, kind of as a utility back. You know, he's going to get his 10 runs. He's going to get his 5 receptions. He's going to, you know, he's very productive. So I don't see it. I don't think he will ever be the 25 touch a game back. I just don't think he's built like that, and he physically can't take that. He's not a Ray Rice stout, you know, strout to the ground. He's not. I mean, look at DeMarco Murray, who's a pretty solid guy, and he's hurt last year, hurt again this year. So I don't think he's that kind of back. But I don't think he's overrated. You just got to use him right. I think these guys got mad talents. You just got to use him right. Number 5, Ray Lewis. I put that in the same category as Tom Brady. Find me 4 better middle linebackers that played this game than Ray Lewis. And this year, Ray Lewis is balling. What did you say, Trey?
I said that's just, in words of Stephen A., that's just disrespectful.
Really, we need to come up with our own words so we can stop stealing Stephen A.'s disrespectful. I don't know. I'm going to come up with one because I don't like stealing. But I'm on the Ray Lewis thing. It's just unnecessary. Number 4, Michael Vick. Yep, I agree. I think he's been overrated since he came back into the NFL. Good quarterback, not a great quarterback. Stephen A. says that the accumulation of hits has him maybe a little woozy, and that's why he's fumbling the ball. I don't know. I don't know how Stephen A. would know that. But definitely he's overrated. He is not a $100 million quarterback. And when they signed him to that $100 million contract, I said that was a big mistake. So, one of few players that actually got $200 million contracts in his career. So, could it be that he got paid and then say, okay, I got paid? I don't know. Number 3, and here we go, Tony Romo. You know, I understand the perception, but the number 2 rated quarterback of all time being overrated, I don't see it. I think he's everything that he's supposed to be. He just hasn't had the complete team to show what he's really all about. Last year, the defense was not balling, period. What did Romo do? 102.9 quarterback rating, 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Yeah, everybody will talk about the Jets game and the pass to Revis. Yeah, everybody will talk about the Detroit game and the 3 interceptions and the touchdown by his good friend that used to play for Dallas. I can't remember the guy's name, but everybody will talk about those 2 games. But people forget the game against San Francisco, the game against the Redskins, the game against the Dolphins. You know, people forget these games. The first game against the Giants, you know, people forget. So I understand it's easy to say he's overrated. I got a friend of mine, I'll just call him E, known him since 4th grade, big Cowboy fans. He said they'll never win with Romo. And I just say to Cowboy fans, and I say to NFL fans, it is not easy. Do not let the fact that teams like the Redskins went out and got RG3 or the Colts went out and got Luck to think that you can just go get a high-caliber quarterback like that. It's not easy to do that. You know, and the Cowboys are a team that understands when you think about Chad Hutchinson and Drew Henson and Quincy Carter and the players they had at quarterback before Romo, and even having a Super Bowl level quarterback, Drew Bledsoe, come in. And what was our knock on Drew Bledsoe? He was a statue in the pocket. We watched him play 6 games in the 2006 season, and he was removed in a halftime against a game. And the main reason was he sat back there and just kept getting sacked. No mobility, no agility, no nothing. Not even to move around in a pocket like an Eli Manning. Nothing. But we want to sit here and look at a guy that makes play after play and say that he's overrated. I get it. I just don't agree with it. Number 2, Mark Sanchez. Yep. He's overrated. There's no doubt about it. You know, the Jets are playing at a questionable level. They're in a weak division with a softened Patriots team. If they can string some wins together, maybe they can make some noise. But I don't believe in Sanchez. I don't believe in him at all. And number 1, no surprise, Tim Tebow. Now, let's call it like we see it. The Jets are not using Tebow appropriately this year, and that's just the bottom line. They're not. You go out and get a first-round draft pick as your backup quarterback. I was wrong. I thought by now he'd be starting. Doesn't appear to be the case. And yet it doesn't seem they know how to use him. They're trying all these different things. He's the up back on the punt return team. He goes in as a spread option. He goes in as a wide receiver. He goes in as a running back. Now they're saying maybe you just make him a running back, and because you don't have a great running game. Sean Green's not, you know, gets hurt, and McKnight gets hurt. And this, why did you go get him then? I mean, I agree, he can't throw the ball, but why did you get him? And I say the problem with him being overrated is because there's this guy at ESPN named Skip Bayless who has made Tim Tebow his personal project. And it's almost to the point where they shouldn't even call it First Take anymore. They should call it First Tebow. Because every show, there's something about Tim Tebow on that show. And that's why we have been splattered and smothered with Tim Tebow. And thankfully so, because if it wasn't for him, maybe Romo would be number one as most overrated. But we've been smothered with Tim Tebow. And so, because of Skip Bayless, there's this high expectations that Tim Tebow is going to produce. He's not even playing. He's not even getting playing time. So, I don't agree with it, because it's like Kyle Orton. Kyle Orton hasn't played. He did one drive against the Bears, and he scored. But other than that, he's not even playing. And yet you say he's overrated. I don't know. I don't know these polls and the fans and the players. I don't get it. I don't get it. But, hey, something fun to talk about. So we thought we'd talk about it here on the Madden Voice. About a few more minutes before we wrap up, going to talk about some picks. 347-838-9525 and Twitter, the Madden Voice. Just type in at the Madden Voice on Twitter. Or if you want, you can just send your statement out and hashtag TMV. And certainly we will see it. And once again, I just want to thank all the fans for all their support. The numbers for Tuesday night are just looking better and better. Appreciate it. Our Friday numbers are looking incredible. Totally shocked at the popularity of this particular Friday lunchtime show. So really want to thank the fans. And just remember, go to our Facebook page and like it. You know what I mean? Send us some tweets. But most importantly, if you like the Madden Voice, tell a friend to tell a friend. If you don't like the Madden Voice, don't just tune us out. Send me a message and tell us how we can improve. Are we talking about the Cowboys too much? Are we not talking about other things that you want to hear? Are we not talking about Tebow? You want to hear more about Tebow? I don't know. Whatever it is you guys want, you got to talk to us and let us know. But based on the numbers, I think you guys are pretty happy. Finally, let's just review some picks from Tuesday night. Seattle at Detroit. I picked Seattle. Atlanta at Philly. As of right now, I'm going with Atlanta, but that one I might change by Sunday. Washington at Pittsburgh. I'm going with Pittsburgh. And K-Star, man, if your Steelers don't win, man, I'm telling you, get a high ankle sprain or something. Get laryngitis, something. Saints at Denver. I'm going to tell you guys, that's a Sunday night game. Enjoy that game. I mean, the matchups we're seeing this year, as good as I expect the Giant-Cowboy game to be, watch that game and watch Eli's considered elite. Romo's considered very good, okay? So watch those two quarterbacks, and I expect it to be pretty good, but then watch Manning and Breeze, and you'll just see Peyton Manning. You'll just see just a little another level. Not that Eli's not there. I've already said he's playing the best. But you're talking about two veterans, these two guys going up at each other. I just really think it's going to be something to watch. But I do think the Giant Cowboy game is going to be pretty good, too. I've got the Saints taking out Denver Broncos. And finally, from Tuesday night, the 49ers going to Arizona. We're seeing Arizona from undefeated now to 4-3. I think it's over for them. The 49ers will put some distance in that division and go into Arizona and win. And I'm not going to say they're going to win easily, but they're going to win against Arizona. Other games, Carolina at Chicago. You know, there's absolutely no reason Chicago shouldn't win that game. 1 o'clock game on Sunday. The Chargers at Cleveland. I keep saying the Browns are close. I keep saying that this team is going to become competitive. And when I say competitive, I mean actually start to win some games. But I don't think it'll be Sunday, even though they're home. And, you know, there's a lot of trap games this week. okay? The Minnesota-Tampa Bay game was a trap game. Minnesota's at home. They get spanked. Carolina-Chicago, another trap game. Chicago has no reason to lose this game. So be careful. When you have a game like that, that's a trap game. San Diego going into Cleveland. San Diego clearly the better team. But watch out for Cleveland and Trent Richardson. Seattle is going into Detroit. Big game for both teams. I don't believe in Detroit. We talked about that already. Jacksonville at Green Bay. That's just a wipeout. That's just an annihilation. Jones-Drew isn't even playing. I mean that's just Green Bay is on a mission now. They've already had their screw ups for the year. They've had their subpar games for the year. They're not going to win them all, but they're going to compete. And so this one is an easy one. If you want money, put your money on Green Bay. Indianapolis going into Tennessee. Now, that's going to be a good game. Hasselbeck has those Titans playing at a pretty good level, and Andrew Luck wants to prove why he was a number one pick. But I got to go with Tennessee on that one. I think Hasselbeck is showing that he should have been the quarterback all along instead of Jake Locker, and he's playing some really good football right now. New England's traveling to St. Louis. Jeff Fisher is certainly turning around that franchise. And by the way, that game is actually in London. But St. Louis is, and when I said traveling, St. Louis is actually considered the home team. But that game is actually in London. Jeff Fisher has St. Louis turned around, and they're a better franchise. I expect New England to win this game, even without Hernandez. But I got to tell you, keep an eye on this one because the stadiums in England that they use now, over the last few years, we've seen those stadiums just not be like they take a soccer field and they turn it into a football field, and the grass is a little bit different, and we've seen some problems. So keep an eye on this game because that's what St. Louis needs. They need an ugly game to try to get an upset, and this could be an ugly game because it's not going to be played. I mean, if this was played in St. Louis, in their dome, I'd say forget about it. This is going to be 45-10. But outside in England, on their kind of funky grass soccer stadiums, keep an eye on this one. I think New England will still win, but this one could be a beat-up, physical, tough game. Miami division game at the Jets. This is a tough pick simply because Miami is starting to show us a little something. But the Jets are home. If the Jets lose, I can't imagine we go another week without Tebow if the Jets lose. Rex Ryan is on the hot seat. There's these comments back and forth between Reggie Bush about Darrelle Revis and put some hot sauce on it and all of that to just kind of add to the game. Surprisingly, I think the Jets are going to win this one. We already talked about Atlanta and Philly. We've already talked about Washington and Pittsburgh. So those were all your 1 o'clock games. At 4 o'clock, you've got Oakland traveling to Kansas City. I don't believe in Kansas City. I don't think they're a very good team. I don't think Oakland's much better, but Oakland's going to get the win here. And K-Star went very eloquently into some details on why Oakland needs to do things a little bit differently. So let's see what they do. And if they use McFadden to the potential that we know Darren McFadden can be. Of course, we talked about the Giants and the Cowboys. Your money should be on the Giants. My heart is never, ever going to leave Dallas. So I've already explained to you why I think Dallas pulls the upset, if you will, at home. It's a shame. But now, the line had Dallas up by one the last I heard. So Dallas at home was a one-point favorite. I don't know if that's changed. Yahoo has the Giants 80% to Dallas 20%. So that's why I say it would be an upset if Dallas were actually able to win this game. And last but not least, we already talked about the Sunday night game, which is New Orleans against Denver. And I'm going with New Orleans. Most people would go with Denver because they're home and Peyton Manning's playing at a very high level. But and probably Denver's D is a little bit better than New Orleans' D. But I'm going with New Orleans. So, and according to Yahoo, let's check Yahoo's picks. Yeah, Denver 73-27. So that's another upset that I'm calling. Last but not least, and we already talked about it, San Francisco Monday night against Arizona. Last comment before I let everybody go. You know, NFL schedulers, I got to question your logic because I've noticed over the last couple of weeks an abundance of 1 o'clock games. You know, this week we've got 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 1 o'clock games to only 2 4 o'clock games. Now, obviously, when you have a game like New York and Dallas, it's going to be a nationally televised game. That's the game everyone's going to be watching. But, you know, look at the games on at 1 o'clock, games that I wouldn't mind watching at 1 o'clock. Well, actually, as I say that, well, yeah, I mean, Miami and the Jets, that's going to be a good game. Atlanta at Philly, it's going to be a great game. Washington at Pittsburgh, it's going to be a great game. You know, I just feel like the scheduling is starting to get a little off. All these 1 o'clock games and only 2 4 o'clock games. I don't get it. So, you know, I don't know. If anybody out there has any explanation as to why this is happening, I'd like to hear it. It doesn't make any sense to me. With that said, I want to thank everybody for tuning into the Madden Voice this week. I want to thank all the fans for their support, and I want to keep asking you to keep supporting the Madden Voice. We appreciate it. We're here for you. Any comments, any suggestions, plenty of ways to reach us. You can just tweet it if you want. You can send me a direct message. I read all direct messages on Facebook and on Twitter. It's Madden Voice on Facebook, and it's a Madden Voice on Twitter if you want to just send a private message. Any suggestions? Hey, and you know, if you have ideas, you want to call in and be a part of the show. Hey, if you want to come on the show every once in a while and do your own little segment, talk to Commissioner T. We might be able to allow a fan to come in and do a segment every once in a while just to change up the pace in the show. We're here for you. As Dr. Train would say, we're a show for the fans, by the fans and for the fans, okay? So with that said, I want to thank Dr. Train for popping in and giving us some comments. I want to thank K-Star. I know he's at work, and he took some time off to jump in and say some things, so I appreciate that. Enjoy the games this weekend. We're about halfway point through the season, guys. Before you know it, we're at December, and the season's over. So enjoy yourself, get your football, and be careful. We got Sandra, whatever her name is, coming up the East Coast, and this one's looking kind of ugly. So if you're in the path of this hurricane, keep an eye on the Weather Channel and make sure you do the right thing and get your water and all of that and make sure that everything is fine. So everybody take care, enjoy football. We'll be back here Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or Eastern Daylight Time. Remember, you want to tune into the Madden Voice. Tune in to Commissioner T, Dr. Train, and K-Star. Get educated. But remember, on the Madden Voice, ultimately, all of our feuds are settled on the field. Take care.